There ain't nothing in the world for that old Ford truck.
I wouldn't trade nothing for my Ford truck. Nothing. I tell you what, the Ford truck I drive right now, I actually went to Sanderson Ford, going to pick me out a Mustang. I was done paying for weddings. I was done paying for college tuitions. Rosie's going to get a convertible Mustang. Yeah, baby. And the man I always deal with at Sanderson has been the same man for years. He said, well, Rosie, before you sign the paperwork on that Mustang, you've never driven a car that low to the ground. Why don't you take this Ford Raptor around the corner? So I did. That was the smartest thing. That was the smartest thing I ever did, man. I came back in. I said, bring this Mustang in back. Write me up. Me and this Raptor are leaving the lot today. I love my Raptor. I love my Ford trucks. And I've been in Ford trucks for 30 years. And they've all come from Sanderson Ford. Every one of them. Bruce was talking about his wife in the expedition.
Explorer.
Mm-hmm. Sanderson Ford.
It is.
My mama's Ford is from Sanderson Ford. My other daughter's Ford is from Sanderson Ford. My wife's expedition is from Sanderson Ford. Romy's, what's he got now, about five pickup trucks?
He just got a new F-150 the other day.
They're all from Sanderson Ford.
The
Look,
last
there's
one off a lot.
Yeah, last 2019.
I should say, yeah.
There's a reason me and my extended family only shop for vehicles at one place. It's because at Sanderson Ford, you really are treated like family. You buy there one time, and you'll never read another car dealer's ad again. There's just no reason to ever go anywhere else. Take my word for it. You'll be happy you did. You'll thank me. I've gotten many phone calls from many people saying, I drove from Yuma because I heard you recommend them. I drove from Flagstaff. I drove from Gold Canyon, and I'm glad I did. You will be too. Shop your next vehicle at Sanderson Ford.
Well, we're going to get back to our creating more space without moving. So, I don't know. We want to talk about some bearing wall removal, Rosie? Is that...
Well, you just took out Miss Karen's.
Yeah. Yeah, so very common, I shouldn't say common, popular thing right now to do is, you know, there's a lot of folks living in South Scottsdale, kind of the central corridor in Phoenix. You know, you've got the little red brick houses, and almost all of them, you walk in through that front door, and there's a big old wall right between that front living room area and the back, either family room, kitchen area, kind of, you know, there's a little bit of variation there. But, you know, those are a traditionally framed roof structure. You know, they're not engineered trusses. So,
and if you're lucky, it's not a sunken living room.
If you're lucky, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, 50s, you don't see too much, but you get a little later and they doing that. But, hey, we got a guy for that, too. So
yeah, that's right.
You know, so getting in there and, you know, a lot of people, because most of those are, you know, modest size homes. So they want to open that up. And gosh, the difference that it makes is just huge. So that wall, though, you can't just go cutting it down and pulling things out. That's the bearing wall for that house. That center line of the house is taking a lot of the roof load. So we got to get in there and do it right. You know, requires some engineering and posts and all that sort of thing. So
the first thing we got to do is determine, are you load bearing?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're built in the 60s, you're load bearing.
Yeah.
If you're built in the 70s, you have about a 50-50
yeah.
chance.
Yep. Yeah.
If you're built in the 80s, it's not load bearing.
Yeah, it more than likely, once you hit the 80s, it's an engineered truss that it would be unusual for that wall to, I won't say impossible, but it would be unusual for that, for a wall in the middle of the house, you know, unless it's a very large house. So.
And when we were building these houses back in the 60s, you'd have your stem walls already poured and set. You'd have all your rebar set. You'd have all your ABC set and graded. And the concrete truck would be coming and backing up to the site. And so us laborers on the shovels would then chalk a line right down the center of the house. And we would merely just take a number two square nose shovel with a wheelbarrow and scoop out the whole trench, the length of that house. And that became the internal midpoint load-bearing wall on most of the houses. Occasionally, for the bigger spans, we had to excavate and do a footing and a spread footing and a stem wall. But when we spread the load out along a wall, you have a stud, back in those days, every 16 inches. You stack your ceiling joists on top of the stud, and you're spreading the weight out along that whole wall. Now what we want to do is we want to nuke that wall. We want to wave our magic wand and make it go away. Well, we've got to do something to the ceiling and the roof to carry that weight. And we're going to do that by inserting a beam. Now, we can hang that beam down below the ceiling, which is a fairly easy little job to do. And then you put two posts on either side with reinforced footings and open that whole space up. I would say most of the time people pay the extra money to bury the beam.
Yeah, because these, you know, most of these houses that we're doing this in, they have 8-foot ceilings.
Right.
So you don't want, and believe it or not, a lot of the specifications we're getting for these beams now, they're 18-inch tall beams. And so you're sticking that down off an 8-foot ceiling if you don't bring it in the attic. And it's, if you're tall, you've just created a forehead hazard. So, yeah, and it's a cleaner look. We have occasionally just stuck them at the ceiling level, but often that's a design thing. Maybe it's a part of a larger remodel. We did a beam that was kind of half and half, halfway up in the attic and halfway down, not too long ago for Joe and Kristen. But that was a design item because they were going mid-century modern with a whole house remodel. So there were some considerations there. But the vast majority of people are going to want that beam tucked up into the attic. So
one continuous large ceiling from the front door, front window, all the way back to that patio slider door in the back.
Sheetrock from the front door to the back door, you know, with no interruption up there. So it just creates a nice clean look. And one thing, too, a lot of time when people hear that we're putting posts, they assume, oh gosh, now I'm going to have these posts in my living room. We typically are able to hide that in one of the walls, off on the side.
Can't see them either.
Yep, you don't even know that they're there. So
now what it is going to mean is when we take a linear load along that load-bearing wall and convert it to two pinpoint loads on these posts, we do have to reinforce that footing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to saw cut roughly about a 4-foot by 4-foot slab out of your concrete. We're going to dig a big deep hole. We're going to lay some rebar down there. We're going to pour concrete, build a little stem wall, pour it back up flush with your existing floor, and then we mount the new post to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now the dilemma is we've probably ruined any finished flooring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're not bringing a saw cutter and then keeping your flooring, unfortunately. So that's a good time to have thought about if you want to upgrade the flooring in your house.
It's absolutely the right time because you don't want to live with patched up concrete slabs right there. But it's a big part. But then you have the ceiling, one continuous plane from front to back. No obstructing vision walls. It's completely cleared out. And then new flooring. You will feel like you've moved into a different home.
That every client that we've done it for has basically said, like, I can't believe this is my house.
Yeah.
You know, one of the folks we did it for not too long ago, one of their adult daughters got home and commented on, like, I can't believe this is our house. You know, it transforms that space from feeling small to suddenly this big, open, inviting. You can see into the kitchen. You can, you know, it's that open space that most people are looking for these days.
It changes your furniture layout. It changes your traffic patterns. It really brings that 50s, 60s Arizona ranch home located wherever it is in Arizona right up into current standards. It's really a very common. And people always want to know, well, what's it going to cost me? Well, it kind of depends what's up in the attic. At this, at Miss Karen's, we ran into a gas line that was just kind of in the way.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, once again, it's kind of that snowball effect. You know, you started with one little thing, but now you've got to replumb some gas lines, and you may have some HVAC, depending on the type of ductwork that you have, especially if you got one of your old metal box ducts running right across there, and you're going to have to do some work there. And once again, like we talked about earlier, you're going to be upgrading that smoke detector system unless you already have. So,
And we never do, well, I can't say never, but we hardly ever do this without upgrading the lighting.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, occasionally maybe someone's done the lighting already.
Yeah.
But gosh, what a great time to, we're big fans of the, you know, we still call them recess cans, but they're not really. The little, the LEDs that from the bottom sort of look like a recess can, except for you don't have this big hole there anymore. They're just nice and flat with a really subtle trim ring and
nice light.
Oh yeah, very
really nice.
And there's we've been using a lot of them these days that you can actually pick between the Kelvin rating, which most people are more familiar with. The you know you, when you go in the store, you see soft white or daylight or warm white, or that's the Kelvin rating. And we have them now where you can pick. So if you don't know, like gosh, I don't know if I want it a little bit warmer or a little bit cooler. Well, we just set it on two or three different settings on a couple of them we put on the ceiling.
In the fixture itself.
Yeah. And then they just give them a day or two, and then they'll say, okay, I want them all at, you know, 4,000. I like that one better. And we just click them all right over. That's been it's been nice. And, you know, opening up that wall is going to give that feeling of more light anyway, but get a little LED recessed lighting up there, and it will really transform that space. So.
And so people always wonder, well, what's that going to cost me? Well, from our experience of the jobs we've done, removing load-bearing wall, putting the beam up in the ceiling, truly hidden, so you don't see anything. You don't see the posts. You don't see the beams. Depending on how much other extra work we do, but not counting the floor covering, how much do we do in relocating plumbing? How much do we do in relocating even electrical lines? Many people take this opportunity and say, get rid of all my 7-foot soffits. As long as you're in here, move all that ductwork up and give me 8-foot ceilings throughout. That's a very common request.
Yeah.
Depending on how many extra things we do, you can expect to spend, go ahead and measure how much wall you want taken out. Well, you can multiply whatever that distance is by about $1,500 a foot up to $2,000 a foot. So if it's 12 feet, 14 feet, or 16 feet, just multiply it times 1,500 or 2,000, and that's going to be the range, okay? It's a lot of money, but it is a new house, and it is half the price of adding additional square footage. That's our topic today. How do we get usable space in our existing footprint as cost effectively as possible? The whole first part of the hour, we were talking about, hey, your garage is the most underused 400 square foot in the whole house. Quit using it for a junk closet where all the junk you keep in there is just going to rot anyway. And let's clean it up, organize it, put a mini split on it, put an epoxy floor covering on it, get some cabinets and some good, nice storage unit on it, and boom, it's your extra room.
Got a whole nother space now.
That's right. Pull the cars out during the day, use it as a room all day, bring them back in at night, you're safe and you're secure. The cars are off the front driveway, out of the road, parked in a nice little comfortable spot. Next morning, your first errands at 10 o'clock in the morning, you left your windows down inside the garage, you hop in your car, it's in the high 70s, roll up the car, start the car, turn the air conditioning on, raise the garage door, pull outside. You never even know it's 115 outside.
Yeah.
It'll spoil you quick.
It will. It's when you step out of your car to get in the stores when you'll have your first shock, you know, especially over the last couple of weeks. So,
all little tips about building versatile space in your existing home. I'm here this morning with Bruce Stumbo from Rosie Wright Remodeling in studio with me this morning. And we're here to take your phone calls as well, 1-888-767-4348.